This episode of Start From Scratch is sponsored by Akilah Waldron, CPA. Akilah is your proven choice for fast, effective tax services. With over a decade of experience and over $1 million in client savings, Akilah will put her knowledge and expertise to work for you. Don't delay. Schedule your free, no obligation, 30-minute consultation today. Call 984-444-5457. That number again is 984-444-5457. Tell her Kurt Sparks sent you, and she may hook you up with a discount. I don't know. But support black businesses by not asking for a discount. Again, Akilah Waldron, CPA, is your proven choice for fast, effective tax services.
Good afternoon. This is Jasmine.
Jasmine Duke. What's going on? Kurt Sparks. Howdy do. Howdy do.
Mr. Sparks, how are you?
I'm all right. What's going on with you? What is going on with you? How are you doing?
I am doing pretty good. Just trying to survive this monster of a task list that I am constantly living under.
Yeah, I seen the pictures on Instagram. Oh, good luck.
Apparently. This has been a busy time, and it was absolutely worth it for me to spend the weekend in D.C. marching, but this was a very inopportune time for me to spend, 3 days traveling, for me personally.
So. Yeah, I know you should be all riled up, because I'm ready to hear everything that took place in D.C. Like, how did everything start? Tell me everything from the beginning, when you first arrived, when you first got to the march. Like, how did everything start?
So, I hopped on a bus and went out there. So, the bus ride out there was fine. It was really full. The bus was a bit, eerily quiet, actually, which I was kind of, I was in one of those places where I wanted to ask people if they were on the bus to go to the march, but then I also just kind of wanted to sit back and observe, the mood. Right. And it, pretty much everybody who was on my bus was headed to the march. We got dropped off in Alexandria, Virginia, which is essentially a stop outside of Washington, D.C., because they closed everything down for the inauguration.
Okay.
So at that point, we had to, you have to get basically Metro cards. You get on the Metro there, and then you head into D.C., and it's just packed.
Wow.
The lines out the door to even get Metro cards. And, I'd gotten emails in advance that were like, you should buy a Metro card before you get there. But I didn't have enough. You needed 5 to 7 days for shipping, so I didn't have enough time, right. Which obviously I wasn't the only one, because there were a lot of us who needed Metro cards. So I finally got on a train. When I was heading into D.C., I started seeing my first, sets of people supporting Trump.
Okay.
A lot of red hats, a lot of Make America Great Again hats, a lot of white people, to be honest.
How was that audience perceived?
Kind of surprised. Yeah, so in all transparency, I live, in New York, which is a very just liberal place in the United States. And I don't know a whole lot of people that voted for Trump, and I certainly don't know a lot of people that roll around the city wearing his gear.
Right.
So I do have some friends in Minnesota who, were still casual acquaintances or whatever that voted for him. And so I've seen a lot of the political posts on the other side, and have personal histories with those people that I grew up with. But to be, when I walked into kind of the middle of downtown's Metro station in D.C., and it's really just a sea of people in red hats.
Right.
That was my first glimpse into holy shit, these are the real life people who think he's a good idea.
Right.
I didn't see a single person of color there the entire weekend who had any of his gear on.
So how was that public received? The people that were actually standing there chanting, happy that Trump was getting inaugurated. Was it fueled with hate from outsiders?
Yeah, and when I got into D.C., it was just about rush hour time. So there's a lot of people just, most of the people of color I saw either had pussy hats on, or they had just work clothes on, they were commuting for work. And the one thing that I will say about the entire weekend, which I was very proud of Americans for was I saw very little aggression and I saw no violence.
Okay.
And so Friday night after I got in, I like had some lunch and then I went and met up with friends and we were in McPherson Square, which there was an anti-Trump demonstration and a pro-Trump demonstration next to each other. And it wasn't, you know, I think when we read things on the media, at least for me, I was nervous what my very small ass was walking into, that, you know, if all of a sudden this turns into a riot, like I'm going to be the first one to get trampled regardless of like whose side I'm on.
Right.
But it really was very not, it just wasn't violent. I mean, there were some people I saw a couple times where like someone was yelling at someone and then they'd like disperse and like, but, and a lot of, so a couple of my friends that I was there with actually started a conversation with some of the Trump supporters there talking about, well, like, why did you vote for him? Like, you know what I mean? Just really like general human conversations. And I think it's really important to mention that this wasn't violent because we have a lot more in common on both sides of the fence than we think we do. And we don't have to be violent to talk to each other. We don't have to be violent to have our own beliefs. We can absolutely have peaceful demonstrations next to each other. And we can look at a Trump, you know, somebody who voted for Trump that we might not understand, but we can still sit down and have decent conversations with them. You know, and I don't think these people go home and turn into like green-eyed monsters. I think they are humans who have their own belief systems and different influences that led them to this place.
Okay. Okay. I mean, so that was good because there were reports on the news that people were actually destroying the Starbucks out there because of the inauguration. And to me, that just didn't make any damn sense.
There was one. I saw one news report as well. And when we were marching on Saturday, I actually saw, I thought it was a bank. Maybe not. But yeah, there was like one incident where like windows got blown out of something. I didn't personally like see that happening, but I did read it online. And I think all in all, if that, you know, to have that minimal amount of something happen is, that could have just been people being stupid. Like there wasn't anything between, and I wouldn't even pit that on like, I wouldn't even go to like the outrage to be like, well, yeah, see how Trump supporters are. Like nothing that I saw during that time was violent on either side, and that includes the Trump supporters that I saw and interacted with.
Right. So with the people that were marching, the group that you were marching, but not only the group, like just the women alone who were marching, like what were some of the things that were actually going on with the march? Because I'm trying to understand. I understand what the march was about. But what was the words that, or the message that was trying to be displayed with the march?
Right. So that's a great question. So, and I think we should always go back to the fact that this march actually ran under a publicized, like, progressive mission statement that you can literally go to womensmarch.com and read. The other thing that I would say about it is that there were women, because we have to remember that within even just like the women's movement or people who believe in feminism, there's all sorts of disagreements about everything.
Right.
You know, this is a very diverse country. You're not going to find a group of people that large that agree on everything, and that's okay. We don't have to agree on every single piece to come together, right, for a basic amount of safety and rights for everyone in this country.
Right.
So what you saw was just this huge sea of people, and there were so many people that it was like it was a stand more than it was a march because there were so many people. We actually couldn't just march. They had to split us over like several different blocks to even get started.
Oh, okay.
And it was men, women, children. Like I was actually personally shocked by the number of men and children that were present. I just, in my mind, I just pictured a whole shitload of women, right? Nope. Yeah. There were so many men there. And that, like, I actually had a guy friend that I met up with who had gone to D.C. by himself. Like, he wasn't, I mean, he had friends who were going, too. He knew he would meet up with people, but he got on a bus by himself and went because this was important to him. So you just have this huge sea of people, and then there's just all these different, like, shirts and messages and signs. And so some of it's about, you know, reproductive rights. There's also a really large showing of women and men who are pro-life. I think it's actually pro-birth, but we put that aside for a minute. Yeah, so it's like there's a part of the march where there's that, I don't know if you've ever seen, but there's a van that pro-life advocates like to drive around that have, like, aborted babies.
Yeah, I've seen it.
The United with the baby pieces and all that. So you're walking, and so they have the truck park, and then there's a big group of them, and then as we walk down further, there's another really large group of pro-life, and, like, so we're walk by, they're holding signs, they're chanting, and then as we're walking by, we're chanting, "My body, my choice," and then the men with us then chanted, "Her body, her choice."
Okay.
Probably one of my, like, favorite moments of the whole, like, kind of thing, because I think not only is it good that we've got people with different beliefs that are showing up, mm-hmm. not only is it nonviolent and peaceful, but also you've got men, you know, really advocating for equality.
I actually heard it was the same here in New York. A friend of mine's went. He actually went with his wife and kids. And he said it was beautiful. It was peaceful. He said a lot of men were there also supporting the cause. And I thought that was great. I thought that was very brilliant.
I was, like, again, in my head when I'm picturing this, you know, I'm picturing me with, like, all my, you know, my girlfriends. Like, we're out here. We're women. And at the end of it, I ended up really marching with a group of four that was me, another woman, and two men.
With the march now, do you think the message will get across? Do you think it was in
vain?
That
was the question I was hoping you would ask. So, okay, so first of all, I'm compiling a video of my experience with the march. I took a lot of video. I took a lot of pictures. It was really hard to get any cell service, so I didn't get an opportunity to post a lot of it real time.
Okay.
But I'm collecting a video basically of, like, kind of all the moments, and I actually, right after the march, sat down and videoed my impressions of it because I wanted to get down my raw feelings before I read too many news stories, before I talked to many people, just that really first, like, pure impression.
Right.
So that's coming on the femalecondition.com this week. The next question, which I'm seeing everywhere, which is, like, an incredibly valid and important question, is what happens now?
Right.
Like, 3 million people worldwide showed up to send this message. What happens now? Especially considering that Trump is just, like, on a signing rampage this week, just making sure that everybody's getting it.
Yeah, that's
so
true.
So, here's what I would say. So, first of all, the march wasn't enough.
Okay.
So, let's all be really clear that we can't just show up and march for 4 hours one Saturday and all of our rights are protected forever and we go back to sleep.
Right.
The march was the beginning, and it was a demonstration of how many people in this country are willing to stand up and fight for the things that are right.
Mm-hmm.
So as far as next steps, I'm personally a part of several, like, activist organizations mm-hmm. that have actionable plans. Things like, you know, contacting our state local representatives, which is a really, 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 really important part of this, is that we not just do Facebook posts, that we not just go after, you know, Trump, that we actually take the time to not only know who our local representation is, but that we also watch their voting, that we hold them accountable to keep the values, you know, that we're promoting happening in our government.
And it also helps to build a great relationship with your local politicians as well.
Exactly. And we're living in a day and age where it's so much easier right now for us to do, you know, for us to facilitate this contest than it was before, and we need to keep doing it.
Right.
And also to say that, remember that your state and local representatives that you're contacting, whether they follow your party lines or not, it's really important to be kind. especially at the influx of communication that they're getting right now, it's really important to not be sending nasty grams, and not because, like, you don't have firm things to say. If you disagree with them, there's absolutely a way to be respectful,
right,
and explain your beliefs and why you believe what you believe. Like, don't, you know what I mean? You don't need to be sending Paul Ryan hate mail, telling him that he's a dick. Like, he is a dick, but that's not how we get messages across and actually influence people. Send him real information, you know, real things about why or how it affects you.
Right.
You know, I know my mom sent out not only emails and postcards, but also started calling her local, senator saying, hey, if the Affordable Health Care Act is repealed, here's how it affects me.
Right.
Like, here's, you know what I mean? So those things are important. And we don't have to do it alone. There's organizations that will help you do this. The first one I'll mention is just womensmarch.com.
Mm-hmm.
So the same people who organized this march that happened Saturday, they have a 100-day action plan running right now. And all you do is just sign up for the emails, and they literally will feed you emails telling you what to be doing each week to keep up with that movement. Sean King, I'm a big advocate of his. I think most people know of him by now, but he has an injustice boycott running. And he's really, really involved in trying to prevent the Dakota Access Pipeline, which is like a fucking atrocity. And, you know, Trump on his third day in office decided to make it very clear that he gives zero shits about our environment,
mm-hmm,
or the people who live there and have to drink that water,
mm-hmm,
and making that happen. So, and again, Sean King, if you can follow him on social media, if you sign up for his injustice boycott, super easy. You literally just get emails that outline your action steps. He even to the point where he'll write a longer address, but he'll highlight the action items at the bottom of the email. So if you're busy and you just need to know what steps are and can't sit down and read everything,
right,
like, again, super easy to have people who are already plugged into these systems who understand how to make change follow suit. Another couple organizations that I'll just mention that are important. I follow For Harriet on Facebook. I love their content. Very pro-black, very smart, very actionable. Now, the National Organization of Women, if you want to get involved in your city to put actual feet on the ground towards movements, they're the right people. Planned Parenthood has their own activism right now and how you can help protect them in their funding. And then, of course, SheShouldRun.org.
Okay.
And what they do is they are actually pulling up and promoting and helping to groom up-and-coming women who want to be politicians.
Well, these are
that was actually a lot of information.
Well, no, but that's well, hopefully people are actually listening and they're jotting down the information. So if you want to do something within your community, for your community, you can go ahead and write this down and you can get things started. Because I'm still trying to understand, you do the marching, you do the protesting, that's great. That's definitely getting the word out. That's letting it be known we have issues, we have concerns. But like you said a little while ago, it doesn't just stop there. You can't expect to march one day and then hopefully things will turn around. You have to start the progress by moving slowly and surely, making sure that things get done. That's the only way it's going to get done. Well, hopefully get done.
Yep, we have to keep at it, and that means at our local levels, that means showing up. And the other thing that I would say, just along those lines, is I've seen a lot of people post things about, you know, well, you did the women's march this weekend, but you don't care about animal rights. Well, you did the women's march this weekend, but what you really don't realize is, like, four powerful men run the world, like, blah, blah, blah. And I think, you know, personally, I'm fucking tired of people acting holier than thou, especially over this whole idea of being quote unquote woke.
Right.
Like, get the fuck off your high horse.
Mm-hmm.
Guess what? People come to knowledge as they come to it.
Right.
Like, what we need to not do right now is to turn around and talk down to people who are trying to do good, who are trying to do the right thing. It is also super hard to run a day job, take care of your family, take care of your home, sleep, take care of yourself, and be part of one movement, let alone trying to be part of all of them. I mean, the reality is if I tried to be part of every organization that I care deeply about, I would have to do that full time.
Right.
And I don't know anyone who has, you know, there are very few of us who have the luxury of doing something like that full time because we have just the physical amount of time in our lives. My suggestion to you would be, one, don't shame someone for trying to do good and being part of an organization. And my, you know, my push on women's rights doesn't mean I don't care about animals, but what it means is that I just only have so much time and energy to devote to this. And I've decided that my passion is women. I also, you know, donate all the time to World Wildlife Fund and all these other things, but it's like, we have to also be, don't be shitty to people. Just as a general statement, because you're quote unquote woker than they are. Like, and especially if you feel like that's an education issue, then you should be bringing people into the fold and trying to help them understand. Like, if you feel like you know seven steps ahead of the people sitting around you, then start talking to those people about what you know about seven steps ahead so that we can all understand and know the things that you know.
Well, I'm actually glad you said that because you actually helped me to ask this great question. What about the women who have the family, who's taking care of the home, like you said, taking care of themselves or trying to find time to take care of themselves, but they want to do so much, but they really can't because they're really living on tight schedules? Is there any way that they can reach their local politicians to try to get things started?
That is another killer question. So, yeah, so there are three apps that I myself have downloaded since I've been back in New York. So the first one is Vote Spotter. VoteSpotter, Vote Spotter. And what this one does is it actually connects you to what votes are being done locally around you and how your local representatives are voting within that.
Right.
So that's super important because, again, like, it just makes it super digestible. So, yeah, you don't have a lot of time to be reading through all the news articles. You literally can log into this app and it will tell you what votes are happening, help you understand what they mean, and then also tell you who the people are locally who are voting for what. The second one that I just downloaded is Empowered. Mm-hmm. And I actually know the owner, Horace. We worked together in a past life. And I'm just recently having some conversations trying to understand kind of his play in this market. And it's, again, it's Empowered, no E. So Empowered.
Okay.
And that's, so what that one is a really easy way for you to connect to your local representation. So all you do is get in the app, put your information, you know what I mean, put where you live and all that, and it will tell you who your reps are, how they lean, and really easily connect you to their contact information. That company is actually based in Georgia, so if you're in the Georgia area, it has a lot more functionality within that region just because they're a startup, but they're starting to put in more and more, you know, technology and support around it nationwide.
Now, how effective is that for women and men to actually go online, download these apps go to these different websites and actually send out what they would like to see and maybe follow some type of protocol to move forward? Because, you know, they say face to face is always better at times. But with the day and age that we live in now, you know, you can just send a quick email and I don't know. I don't know if it's going to be effective or not. But how effective do you think it will be or can be?
Well, it's as effective as it is. I think that's a fair point because, again, a face-to-face or a phone call is going to be more effective than an email, right? We all know that these senators or, you know, local officials can be simply just dumping all of our emails or having an aide go through them and never even looking at them.
Right.
So if you get an opportunity to be face-to-face and you can make that happen, I saw a girlfriend of mine actually in Atlanta was face-to-face there, and there were so many people that showed up that they couldn't see everybody, and it actually turned into, like, this huge mob of people where they had to start to, like, move the street around to accommodate the amount of people that actually showed up to speak to their local representation. So Yeah, if you can do something like that, yes, it's more effective. If you can, like, I know my mom is constantly on the phone. It's obviously a lot harder with my schedule for me to, you know, do 10 phone calls a day.
Right.
But, you know, even if you did 2 phone calls a day, like, just do something. And along the lines of the efficacy of something like this, they're reporting now that Paul Ryan has actually shut down, like, public access to him because of the flood of everything.
Right.
People showing up, phone calls, emails, mail. I mean, he's literally got armed guards that are standing around him now because so many people are outpouring and outreaching to him about the things that he represents that they disagree with. And I think while, like, yeah, is that necessary? Does that mean, you know, tomorrow he's going to come in a changed man? Like, probably not. But let's not forget that all the other, you know, politicians are watching that.
Right.
And are taking note not only of the flood of backlash he's getting, but also we have to vote for these people at midterms.
Right.
Senators aren't like Supreme Court where they just sit forever. These people have to get reelected. So there's also an amount of, you know, accountability where if you piss everybody off and everybody knows about it, and you're voting against our interests, you don't get to do your job again.
With the outpour of supporters who are on the same page and want to see change, especially in women's rights, enough of it coming in is going to have to force the government to consider making a change or making some type of positive move to what the public wants. You can't just receive these emails, these letters, these phone calls, these face-to-face interviews. You can't just receive those and not make some type of move. You got to satisfy the public some way, somehow. I don't think it's going to be a thing where it goes unheard or unnoticed. It's definitely going to be noticed, but I doubt it's going to just fall on deaf ears.
Well, and maybe it does fall on deaf ears for, you know, the Republicans that are currently in power and our current sitting president. But let's also just remember that, again, people are elected officials. So if you're looking at a country that you already know, you're talking about over 1 million people showed up in D.C. alone.
Right.
Like, you might get your glorious 4 years of fucking everybody, but y'all have to be elected again.
Right.
So, you know, if his plan is really to be a 2-term president and you're already losing approval ratings and you look up and you lose, you know, if 5 million Americans all of a sudden are not only, like, not into you, but, like, vehemently against you and willing to fight you,
right,
like, that also tells you that your prospects for a second term aren't good. So they could ignore us and they could do whatever they wanted. But the reality is, like, this movement is growing fast and he's not making any friends. Like, this week alone, we're talking about he's already saying he's going to approve that fucking Dakota access pipeline. He put a gag order on the EPA.
Yeah.
The EPA can't speak. He's saying climate change doesn't exist. He made another move that I just saw. He froze the Department of Veterans Affairs is under a hiring freeze, which hurts our veterans, which our veterans are people who support him, right? Like, he's starting to do these things. Immigrants and the wall are supposed to be up next today. Affordable Health Care Act is already in the process of being dismantled. Like, you're talking about a lot of disenfranchised people who are about to be even more disenfranchised.
Yeah, it's crazy. Pence needs to just go have several seats. Pence is an asshole.
Pence is slay. Yeah. The comical thing about him is he actually looks like a villain.
Yeah, he actually does. You ain't lying about that.
But he actually looks like a villain in a movie. Like, he physically looks. Yeah, like, I mean, it's, and then he talks, and then you're like, oh my god, were you in one of the Batman movies? Yeah. I feel like I've seen you before.
Now, you know what I wanted to ask you, and I noticed that I know you were busy this past weekend, but I've noticed on your Twitter, and your Instagram accounts, Chrisette Michelle's been getting a lot of backlash for her performance at the inauguration. What are your thoughts on that?
Mm-hmm. Oh, I think she got what she deserved. You know, I think we make decisions and people react to us based on those decisions. And she's coming forward now and saying that her family disowned her for that performance, and he didn't even take the time to meet her and shake her fucking hand.
Yeah.
Which already tells you what he thinks of her.
Right.
Like he had no kind of thought about, not only just to be respectful of the fact that she was there, as every other president has had to do before him, you know, but also to understand how racially charged this whole event has been, and that she really put her neck out on the line. And because of it, I mean, this is potentially something that not only affects her on a personal level, but this could destroy her career.
Yeah, she actually said on the Breakfast Club, watched the interview, she said that while she was performing, when she was on her way out, Trump was actually on his way in. So she didn't get a chance to meet him at all. You laughing?
But because that's the type of man he is.
Right.
And if anyone who voted for him or didn't vote for him think that he gives two fucking shits about being kind or gracious for thanking people for anything at any capacity, he doesn't. We just saw his very first day as president. He did a press conference from the CIA in a room that's a memorial to fallen agents. And instead of thanking the men and women who have fallen and died for this country for their service, he decided to spend that time talking about fake news.
No.
He is the first president to not acknowledge the memorial to fallen CIA agents, because he was so busy talking about how great he is and how everybody who's saying he's not great is fake news, that he missed an opportunity to actually, like, recognize people who have literally fucking died so that he could stand in that spot.
Now, I did read that he sent out a message pretty much to the violence that's going on in Chicago. If you guys don't straighten up, he's actually going to start sending out the FBI to start straightening things out for them.
The feds.
Yeah.
The feds. Yeah. Yeah. Again, he has a foundational lack of knowledge, not only in how we actually fix problems, but also how, like, state laws even work. But yeah, everyone has been saying, well, let's just wait and see.
Right.
I hope they feel satisfied now.
Yeah.
Because we're at day five. So everyone who was saying, let's wait and see, it's day five.
Well,
would you like to keep waiting? Would you like to keep seeing?
Is it actually day five? Because do they count the weekends as work? I mean, they're off Saturdays and Sundays,
yeah,
right?
He started his first day as president was with the CIA on Saturday.
Okay.
Presidency is a full-time, that's one of the pieces of advice I believe Obama had given Trump, was like, look, I get that these things, like when people come after you and say hurtful things about you, I get that it sucks.
Right.
But you, as a president of, you know, 300 million Americans, you don't have time to respond to every slight that comes at you.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have the time. Like, you have so much that you have to be getting done and so much that has to come across your desk every day that you actually don't have the time to be watching SNL and responding every day. But I'm sure he'll find the time.
Well, let me ask you this question. We already know now Trump is in office. He has four more years to actually come through on what he promised he was going to do, or actually...
He's already coming through on what he promised.
Okay. Well,
he's coming through on everything he promised, like fast and in a hurry.
Now, your personal opinion, do you think the same people that helped to vote him in, he's going to turn on them and actually do something different? Or he's just doing what he's doing now for a show?
No, I think, well, so first of all, let's just be clear that he's doing exactly what he campaigned, his campaign promises. He is on them. He started to dismantle the Affordable Health Care Act. on today's docket is immigration, deportation, and starting for us, by the way, to pay to build the wall. He's literally the thing that he ran on, he's doing. What I don't think people realize, especially this, like, part of his voter base that needs things like the Affordable Health Care Act, is that they never realize was actually how bad these things are for their own lives.
Right.
So I think he's doing, you know, I guess maybe to his credit, he's doing, in his first week in office, everything he said he would do in his campaign. So I guess we know to that extent he's a man of his word. The problem is that he ran on a campaign of racism, sexism, cutting social programs, and fucking our environment, which I don't know that everybody who voted for him actually took the time to understand what the consequences of the things that he's doing right now actually mean for us.
Do you think he's going to file taxes?
No, he's already come forward and said I think it was Kellyanne came forward and was like, no. And by the way, like, so, you know, the day he was inaugurated, like, whatever, 12 p.m. inauguration, you know, goes through, he's finished it, he's officially the president. White House website flips. Climate change is dropped. Civil rights is dropped. Protection and rights for LGBTIA+ community is dropped. Like, just immediately, as soon as that transition of power happened. And there's like a petition site that was open, though, that's like, something's important to you, petition your government. And I guess, like, within that day, and I heard this secondhand, that hundreds of thousands of people had already signed a petition that they want to see his tax returns. And so one of his flunkies, I think it was Kellyanne, came on and was like, yeah, he's not going to release his tax returns. And I'm just like, yeah, no shit.
Yeah.
Of course he's not going to release his tax returns. Like, he was never going to release his tax returns.
Yeah, that's just a fight. You just got to just leave alone. That's not going to happen. Just stop. It's not going to happen. Not at all.
Well, people have their movements, right? I think we can't all fight everything, but we can pick things that matter to us and fight for those. And if there are still media outlets or people who've decided that that's super important to them, then I think you should start fighting, should keep fighting for the things that you believe in. Right. Well, the other piece of it is, you know, his very first day in office, they already started an external ethics, body that governs the government already started a lawsuit against him because he still hasn't cut his business ties. It was reported yesterday that he actually still makes money off of the Dakota Access Pipeline. So if that goes through, he actually benefits from it. He's got foreign money coming in that he's not supposed to have because he's the president. He still hasn't separated from his hotel business here, which all he was doing was giving it to his sons anyways. Mm-hmm. But he still hasn't done any of that. And so there are already lawsuits against him, which, by the way, those are impeachable offenses.
Well, we'll see if they're going to be carried out. Again, that's another we'll see moment, I guess.
It's all, well, I have no intention of hanging out and saying we'll see. But also, I think we need to be realistic about what it actually takes to impeach a president. And then we also need to think very, you know, clearly about what it means to impeach him and end up with Pence. And in my opinion, unless we can gut Pence and Trump, like, unless we can take the cabinet, I don't know that it makes any sense for us to impeach him.
Oh, well.
Because if we just impeach him and we get Pence, like, that doesn't work either. Like, we need to impeach, like, everybody in that cabinet needs to go. So we'll have to that is a wait and see. Do we actually ride this out for 4 years, or does something happen where we see a transition of power before, which I have no fucking idea. This election has been so odd and so, like, beyond what I could have imagined that I don't even have any guesstimates.
Yeah. It's just hard to say. The best thing for us to do right now is just to plan our summer vacation and relax like the Obamas. That's the best that we can do right now, because this is just too much.
Yeah, I do. And that's the other thing I was starting to think recently is, so I've got a couple, I'm obviously getting like my Women's March content up, just because it was such an incredible, like, overwhelming experience for me that I want to share and have documented. But after that, I really want to start to get back to my messages around female sexuality and helping women rise. Like, I don't want to spend the next 4 years talking about how ridiculous this is. I mean, I want to keep up with it, and I want to still keep being an activist and fighting for things that are right. But, you know, FemCon will continue to be devoted to the rise and empowerment of women, and not devoted to like a 24/7, you know, Trump news channel. We have plenty of those.
Yeah, because that's what they actually expecting. So, like I said, right now we just got to just take a chill pill, see how things develop, and just worry about what we got to do in our personal lives.
Yeah. Oh, and importantly, so I am hosting a benefit on Valentine's Day in the Chicago area. Benefits homeless women. Very good friend of mine, Cindy Boyton, started a nonprofit called Pretty Little Purses. We're taking donations before the event. And then the mixer should be really fun. A lot of great people, men and women. We'll have cocktails, like, be just a really good time to kind of network and meet with people. And then, of course, like, benefit homeless women in Chicago. And as we all know from recent tweeting, Chicago can take all the help that we can give right now. Anybody has questions about that? I can be reached on thefemalecondition.com or Jasmine Duke, JazmineDuke, on all of the socials.
Beautiful. Ms. Duke, once again, it has been a pleasure for you to enlighten us with everything that's going on, because it's not just about the fuckery that we see all the time. There's a lot of political fuckery, and we need to be informed and enlightened on what the hell is actually going on. So thank you.
Yeah, thank you. I'll talk to you next week.
Definitely.
Bye-bye.
Start from scratch, people. That's just how we do. It's not always about the fuckery. It's not always about the bullshit. I know what you guys like to see on social media, but guess what? That's just what it is. I agree, we do need some type of entertainment in our lives, but we also need to be educated on what the hell is going on around us. Start from scratch. The Blogcast. Oh, don't forget, check out the New Edition story. I watched it last night. I'm watching part two tonight, and then I'm going to watch part three tomorrow night. God's spare life. Start from scratch. I'm Kurt Sparks. Peace.